This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Money is something we all think about, whether it's covering the basics, saving for something special, or seeing headlines about eye-watering CEO pay packets. But does having more money actually make us happier? Or is there a point where it stops making a difference? Well, to explore what the research says, we're joined by Brad Elphinstone, lecturer in psychology at Swinburne University of Technology. Brad, welcome to Drive.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we get into the numbers, when you think about money and happiness, is it the size of someone's bank account that matters most or the way they use it?
It's definitely the way that people use their money that makes all the difference. There's been a lot of research on things like materialism, which is buying things and acquiring money for reasons associated with image and status, and that tends to be associated with lower well-being. And then there's experiential buying, which is spending on experiences. It's going out for meals with people you like. It's going on holiday and building lifelong memories. It's buying a guitar and getting music lessons and developing new skills, and that supports people's well-being. With materialism, it's often driven by low self-esteem. So it's feeling negative about yourself, it's negative comparisons with others, fear of missing out, and being on this treadmill continually buying stuff isn't necessarily going to fill that void.
Let's talk about the US study with the magic number for happiness. What did it actually find, and why do you think it struck a bit of a chord?
So in that study, and that was in 2010, they suggested it was about $75,000 a year, household income after tax, where well-being sort of leveled out. So from being in a low socioeconomic bracket up to that amount, there was a considerable increase in well-being, but at that point, it sort of flattened out. But there's been research since then that suggests that well-being can continue to go up beyond that point, but that study only included people earning up to about 500,000 US per year. So still like wealthy, but not, we're not talking like the $50 million a year CEO pay packets. But if you take that 75,000, convert it or deal with inflation, which converts it to about 120,000 US, then convert that to Aussie dollars, it's around 180,000. Keeping in mind that house prices have gone up a lot and rent has gone up a lot since 2010. So the listener that suggested 200K, that's probably in the ballpark.
Now, what about happiness in terms of, are people happier once you get beyond that point? So as the wealthier you get, the happier you are. What does the research show there when we get to those extreme levels of wealth?
It can be a mixed bag. There's research, for example, on people who've won the lottery. So they've suddenly come into millions of dollars thinking that's going to be this amazing, life-changing event for the better, and it ends up being quite a negative thing. A lot of people come out of the woodwork asking for money and questions about who's going to inherit what, and it can create a lot of conflict. And if people are earning more and more and stuck on this materialistic treadmill where the brain is very good at adapting to things. We might walk into a freshly painted room and notice that fresh paint smell, and then 5 or 10 minutes later, you don't even notice it anymore. And it's sort of the same thing. Like, you can get used to a new level of luxury, and then to get that same buzz, you need to buy more and more and more, and it just never ends. So, but equally, there are people out there that are very wealthy and they run, you know, a certified B Corp that donates a portion of its profits to charity. They do philanthropic work. So that's all stuff that I'm sure they find very satisfying and supports their well-being. So it really depends what you're using that wealth for. But I guess the take-home message is that you don't have to be this multi-millionaire to be super happy. The average household disposable income is about 80,000. Sorry, the median is 80,000. The average is about 100,000. So the average Australian household is far away from this, let's say, $180,000, $200,000, ideal sort of happiness zone. But and it's not to say they can't be happy, but, yeah, there are a lot of people dealing with regular financial stress and making sacrifices, and that's obviously making things pretty tough.
Now, just on giving away money, does generosity actually make us happier than spending it necessarily on ourselves?
Certainly there's a lot of research that suggests that giving to charity or volunteering time to charity can be a real positive thing. Part of that is through just feeling that you're making this tangible impact in the world and contributing to causes that are meaningful to you, as well as potentially being part of a like-minded community that is working towards this greater good. So, yeah, if it's something that people can afford to do, it can be very rewarding.
Now, I'm fascinated, Brad, by this study that gave away randomly US$10,000 to people. What did we learn about how money affects happiness in different countries?
Yeah, well, it was a lot like that earlier American study where when people are, you know, when people don't have much money, having more makes a big difference. And that's what this study found on a global scale, where people randomly got $10,000 US. And for people, say, in Australia, it increased their well-being a little bit, but not massively. But for people in developing countries who had very low incomes, $10,000 US was life-changing. But what was found across this study was that a lot of people did actually give money away to family and friends and to charity.
We're chatting with Brad Elphinston from Swinburne University of Technology about how much money we really need to be happy, and how much money do you reckon? 0427 569 949. Paul and Glenn Waverley says the real issue isn't how much we make, it's how unequal it's become. Just on that, Brad, Australia's wealth gap is widening, especially for young people. From a well-being perspective, how does inequality affect not just those at the bottom, but society as a whole?
Yeah, so there's been quite a lot of interesting work done by Wilkinson and Pickett on this, where comparing different US states or comparing different countries, the more unequal things get, the worse off everyone is in that society. Part of it is that you get these complex intergenerational things that occur, but educational attainment, so like high school graduation, can go down, crime can go up, violence can go up, drug abuse, alcohol abuse goes up, obesity can go up as people are finding it harder to afford nutritious food, which puts strain on healthcare systems. But as part of all of this, there can be an erosion of trust, that there's this competitive mindset that you feel that other people might, you know, be trying to rip you off out of, you know, their own sense of desperation. One study found that a lost wallet is less likely to be returned the lower trust is in a given area. And so as this sort of goes on, it just erodes the foundations of what makes for a good society, and that, you know, that's not in anyone's best interests.
So it's in all our interest to try and narrow that gap, obviously.
Yeah, and so, and certainly for the very wealthy as well. I remember reading an article years ago that talked about Australia being a really desirable place to live in if you're a multimillionaire, because it's very unlikely that you and your family will be kidnapped and held to ransom.
Oh, I always get surprised when people who are extremely wealthy don't donate a lot of their money. I find that really strange. I suppose in a fantasy world, we all say, oh, if I had X amount of money, I'd be giving it away. But I wonder if that happens in reality. Do we have any stats on the number of people that are philanthropic?
I'm not actually sure on what the statistics are for that, but I think there's a mixed bag. There are some people who are very wealthy who are very much part of those philanthropic scenes. And then there are others that aren't, where you know, they've already got billions and yet they campaign against tax reforms that might, you know, reduce their billions ever so slightly. So, yeah, there are some people who just seemingly need more and more, but others who, despite their wealth, are more than happy to give back.
I know how to fix that, Brad. There's a new research project for you. Find out which ones are happier.
Yeah, well, billionaires don't participate in research that people like me do. They're too busy.
Whereas we click on everything. Brad, personally, I suppose, after years of looking at the research, do you think there's a sweet spot for money and happiness, or is it more about what we do with it rather than how much we have?
I think everyone needs a certain amount. If you go back to ancient Greece, Aristotle said that to fully develop as a person, to become eudaimonic, that there's a certain amount of wealth that you need. In the 1950s and 60s, Maslow was talking about his hierarchy of needs, and same thing, you need a secure roof over your head, 3 square meals a day to be able to afford healthcare and to be able to afford access to the opportunities that help you grow as a person. So education, hobbies, enough free time to spend with your loved ones. And it's through those experiences and opportunities that you can grow as a person. So you need enough money for that. And so with that like $180,000, $200,000 range, there could be people who earn a lot less than that, but are incredibly happy and fulfilled with their lives because of the way that they spend their time and who they spend that time with. So you need enough money to be able to support yourself and be comfortable and have freedom and access to things. But and beyond that, more money might not actually do anything for you.
And buy something that you enjoy as opposed to the new car, because the smell goes after a while.
Absolutely, yeah. No,
Brad,
buy the things that you love.
Great conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad Elphinston, lecturer in psychology at Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.